This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. This is part two. This is part two of the Death of Soleimani episode. This time, we got Mr. Matt Best, Evan Hafer, and Jared Taylor giving their take on it.
I think they have a Navy SEAL guest.
They do.
So they're representing all the branches of the military over there. And Logan's on that show as well.
Yes.
So he's Marine Corps, so I think they've got everybody.
Yeah, they got every branch represented over there.
Yep.
To talk about it from an American soldier perspective. Not that you're not one, Dan. You were the American soldier in my eyes.
Mm-mm.
You are. You're my little tiny soldier. I'm not afraid to say that. I don't care who's here. There's some people scattered around the studio right now. I don't care who hears it. So
would it be weird if I got like a figurine of myself?
No, not at all. Would it be weird if I scored your figurine and just put it in different places all over the world to that fire
like
away
Flat
song?
Stanley.
Fire away, fire away.
I don't know that song.
You're bulletproof. Nothing to lose.
Is this a song?
Fire away, fire away.
I don't understand why you're so out of breath right now.
I think it's because it's Katy Perry.
Oh, she wears those really tight fitting clothes, so that strains the oxygen.
Fire away, fire away.
What happened?
I'm real sultry.
What happened with Katy Perry?
She still has the hugest tits on the planet.
Yeah,
and she is engaged to Orlando Bloom, and she's hosting one of those voice shows, American Idol, and she's making $18 million a season.
Good for her.
Is that fucking crazy, man?
Yeah.
That's a lot of goddamn money for Katy Perry.
Yeah, it is. I mean, she doesn't really have that much of a personality.
No, but bless her both parts.
Look, when she came out in that that skin-tight Obama suit back in, what was it, 2012?
Yeah.
I was like, I might vote for him. We'll see.
Damn titties. And that's two D's, by the way.
Yeah.
Titties. There's nothing there's nothing on this earth that could be a better lead in to the show than this. Luckily, this episode is not as serious as the one last night. So look, it's classic Jared. You're going to get a lot of Jared on this one.
And I think there are probably going to be some Evan rants in there as
well. Oh, yeah.
Which is good. Everybody loves those.
They're going to talk about this in the episode itself, and I'll reiterate it at the top. We've always talked about, possibly doing a spinoff show or on another feed or whatever, and it's just like, why? We have an open day here on Drinking Bros. So we're going to have Free Range Fridays with Evan and the boys on Friday as well. So that way we got you covered Monday through Friday. It has always been our goal with this new media company to give you the most content we possibly can and hopefully be your morning drive, your afternoon drive, or just your work show that you listen to at work, wherever you are, whatever you do in this life.
Or when you're fucking.
Yeah, put us on when you're fucking. So now, I think we got it. I think we got it. They're going to start on February 7th.
I don't know about you guys, but I like to listen to geopolitics and dick jokes when I'm getting down.
Goddamn right.
So
goddamn right. And again, it'll be in the Drinking Bros feed. So you won't have to subscribe to another show and nothing. It'll just be there on Fridays. And you're welcome for that. We've been working hard on that for a while. Before we hop into the show, part two here, we got some sponsors. Pay for this whole fucking shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, talking about GhostBed.com/drinking bros. Whew, a lot of people asking. Dan, they're asking, please, I missed the 25% off sale. Will they extend it? Will they extend it? I don't know. Check. Go to the website. We're on two different coasts recording today. So I would definitely check the website. They usually leave it up for another day. I probably shouldn't even be saying that, but go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Check it out. Look, that other sale was gangbusters, 25% off. And that included the pay-as-you-go program, no interest for 36 months, which is crazy to me because not only were you getting the cheapest shit on the planet, but then you could do it as a pay-as-you-go program. I don't know how Ghostbed's making any money, but God bless them. It's the best fucking mattresses on the planet, the best pillows. Mm-hmm. I got that new shredded pillow. Do you have that one yet? I don't have that one yet.
Yeah, I've got two of those.
You fucker.
Ooh.
Are you snaking them from the office before I get in? Is that what's going on?
No, I bought them, actually.
I look at you.
Use the code, but I bought them.
Yeah. Look, we always use the code. My kid puked all over mine. I'm going to have to buy the new ones. I will
use my
code. It's
time for a new kid, my man.
Yeah.
Trade them on in.
I'm going to head on over to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today as soon as the show is over and try to grab some of those new pillows. Yeah, that little fucker puked everywhere, dude. Next up, D'Anthony, who do we get?
Let's see.
Boxofawesome.com.
I'm actually browsing their site right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
What's the new shit? What's going down on boxofawesome.com?
Well, I mean, they have, we always pitched them as a, and you heard it on last night's show, as a box company, and it is Box of Awesome. It's Bespoke Post, but, they've also, if you like go into the shop, if you're going on the website and you click on the shop and you can look at, they have a lot of stuff that's individually for sale too. So if you see something that's part of a kit that you don't necessarily want to get the kit, you know, you can always cruise over there and get it. But the best deal is, and the purpose of this whole thing, by the way, is to expose you to new products. So one of the things they have going on, one of the boxes is, it's called Dry, and it's like a fucking whiskey and some, a cocktail, book that teaches you how to make different shit, and then it has some accoutrement with that.
I got that, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, I have that one, yes.
Yeah, so that one's kind of cool, and it's like, look, you're not going to sign up for a kit to get the same three whiskey ingredients, cocktail ingredients every month, but it exposes you to new shit, and they change these up all the time. That's why we're all fucking signed up for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, when it comes to your house every single month, you want to be surprised, and so they add them new ones every month. When the other ones sell out, you can't get them anymore,
yeah.
Which is rad. I tried to get the fucking casket, dude. Mm. The cask for the whiskey. I think I called it a casket last night. Might as well be. I'll drink myself to death in that goddamn thing. I love it.
May as well.
I didn't get it. And that's the beauty of it. You sign up. You get a brand new box every month. They're always tinkering around with the dopest shit on the planet. Kind of reminds me of that store in the mall. It's so expensive that you can never buy shit from. You know, they get the fucking massage chairs, Brookstone.
Oh, Brookstone, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, dude, this you can't afford.
Yeah.
It's under $50, dude, a month, and that's it. It just get it, again, you can get a fucking axe. They sent somebody an axe last month.
Really?
Yeah. It's dope as shit, man. Go to boxofawesome.com. Today, use the promo code DRINKINGBROS for 20% off your first box. Sign up, dude. It's well worth it. Me personally, that knife was the jam, dude.
Well, I was going to say, just so you know what kind of company you're dealing with, when you go into that section I told you about the shop to see the individual products, there's a section called Everyday Carry.
Yeah.
And it's knives and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, they got Forge. They got the Forge is the knife one.
Yeah. Well, that's the box. Yeah, that box
exactly.
Is dope.
And so they're all labeled by boxes. Like they get the Weekender, the Off Duty, the Glisten. The dim. What's the dim, man?
I don't know.
Is that those new age light bulbs?
Oh yeah, it is actually. So the dim is like Jared has in his house. It's all fucking Philips Hue light bulbs that are Bluetooth connected, so you can change them, and you can also hook them up to an app that makes it like. Jared was showing us at his house in Saint Antoine not too long ago. So you hook it up to this app and you play music that is accompanied by background scenery. So in this case, it was a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
And the lights would pop, like they would flash on and off as the lightning was happening in the thunderstorm throughout his whole room.
Yeah,
it was dope.
It's incredible. He's all decked out over there.
Yeah.
We're huge fans of boxofawesome.com. Hopefully they're with us for the long haul, man, because I love getting those fucking boxes every month.
Yeah.
And it's the best. Use the promo code DRINKINGBROS. For 20% off at boxofawesome.com. Last but not least, we got blackriflecoffee.com. D'Anthony, tell us about it.
Black Rifle Coffee is a premium roast-to-order coffee company. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention, but they're doing the new, like, specialty coffee club. So it's not part of your regular coffee club. It's something extra. Like, if you're someone like me that drinks expensive coffee, mm-hmm. and they actually, theirs is not expensive at all, but I drink expensive coffee. They've somehow managed to get a lot of expensive coffee, and I'm paying less for it with them than
it's,
I was
It's
before.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think... All the crazy ones you've seen them come out with over the last couple of months, like the Mac Savvy, the fucking God, I can't remember all of them at this point. I think the next one that's coming out is a Panamanian Geisha, which is one of the best coffees in the world.
Mm.
That's the kind of stuff that I like.
You ever had sex with a Panamanian Geisha?
Not a Geisha, but a Panamanian for
okay.
sure.
Okay, look into the Geishas, man.
So
Geisha, once you go Geisha, you never
Geisha is a village in Ethiopia, and that's where the original coffee plants came from.
Mm.
So it has nothing to do with that kind of Geisha.
Well, it's actually, it should.
It's spelled differently. It's G-E-S-H-A instead of G-E-I-S-H-A.
I think you should paint your face and really enjoy a cup of coffee.
That's I think that's white face, actually, and that's offensive to me.
Is it? I enjoy it when I'm getting jacked off.
You like seeing a painted white face?
Yeah, dude, I make my wife put it on.
So that's not something you don't like. You don't have clown fears or anything like
no,
that?
No, nothing. Nothing in that vicinity. Matter of fact, I welcome it. When we had that clown porn star on the show, it was a great time.
That's true. Yeah, she was pretty cool.
Yeah. Shout out to her. Shout out to her.
Miss Quinn, I think.
Miss Quinn,
name
yeah.
Is,
yeah. Shout out to Miss Quinn.
Yeah.
go to blackriflecoffee.com. Sign up for their subscription of the month. That shit just shows up at your doorstep on the same date of every single month. They do not miss. Use the promo code Drinking Bros 20. Is it Drinking 20 or Drinking Bros 20?
Drinking Bros 20.
Drinking Bros 20?
Yeah.
Or Drinking 20?
I don't know. Drinking
Bros
both.
20.
Try them both. We'll see what
Try
works.
Try them both. See how that shakes out. Let's go to Salt Lake City with the boys, shall we?
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Whoa. Hi.
This is...
You guys are sharing a mic.
We are.
I love
just
it.
A Navy what, SEAL and a Marine.
Why don't you guys just pass it? That's just weird that you both keep bringing your heads.
Bring it to my mouth.
Yeah. It's like hot bunking when you guys were back in the Navy. Back in the NAV.
Oh, man. I
back
love hot bunking. I still hot bunk. I actually still hot bunk.
Yeah.
With yourself?
With
it
your donkeys.
Count.
He hot bunks with all his donkeys.
Donkeys.
Have you ever considered trimming your unibrow?
Nope.
No. What would be the point of that?
That's a good point. What would be the point of that?
Yeah. I get really cold right there.
Yeah.
Well, on other news, we are here in Salt Lake City doing some work on some epic Black Rifle content, some new media that we're going to build out. And we said, why not jump on an episode, talk about some current events,
yeah.
talk about life, talk about
Needed
what
to
the
get
fuck
in
is
here.
Going on.
Everybody's asking on Instagram right now your thoughts.
Everybody's asking my thoughts.
Yeah, they want to hear from you right now.
Well, like I said about Iran.
Yes. World War III.
Well, I said it earlier. I said it. I think I could not say it any better. Which is, you know, we invaded Iraq and people told us that was a bad idea. Well, look at that place now, right? So
worked out phenomenally.
You know, that place is ship shape. We just
flourishing like
we just
Seoul,
cleaned
South
that place
Korea.
Out, right? We did it. We did just bang that up real quick. You know, that was just like a quick, you know, in and out.
Just
we just
knock
like
up
took
a country
care of
right
it.
Here.
A what?
Just knock a country up right here.
Hey,
you know, since we all served in the military, that makes us foreign policy experts. That's what I heard.
I think so.
When you
like
get your DD-214, yes. it yeah. says foreign policy
expert. I'm an expert.
You're an expert?
Yes. I went to Johns Hopkins University.
Johns Hopkins.
Yeah.
Are you a medical doctor-ish?
No, I'm a fish stick policy, world policy lawyer on fish sticks.
I don't know. I think that there's a few things we could say about this. I don't think anybody should listen to the show and think like this is going to be great.
I think so they should. If you come in with an expectation of this is going to numb my mind for an hour
yeah.
with noise.
Yeah. This isn't where you should go to get your current events.
No
information.
No.
Well, but I do like this. So I will say this. So how many people on the panel have been to war? Everybody.
Everyone.
Yeah,
we're all raising our hands.
And we all have, we've got Air Force, we've got Army, Navy, and
so go ahead.
And the Marines.
This Department of the Navy.
We have all the only four services in the DOD.
Yeah.
We have everybody. So yes.
We have Navy Men's Department. Right.
Yeah, yep. We actually hired Trevor just so we could get a Navy guy in the team.
No,
yeah.
I hired him because I was afraid of equal opportunity claims against the
we
company.
Didn't, we didn't
for
employ
SEALs.
A SEAL.
Yeah. And he was
he
was like, he actually struck me as an Army guy when I first met him. I was like, oh, you don't have any gel in your hair. You don't have any tan. You know, you're not showing off your abs. It wasn't until later I realized he was into that stuff.
Yeah, now he shows off his abs all the time.
Now he does it all the time.
Yeah, but he does it with the front camera on the iPhone.
Wait, am I like Stolen Valor Navy SEAL because I wear lots of hair gel and I'm kind of tan usually and I work out? Or I guess that's kind of the range.
And you always smell nice.
Oh, thank you, Logan.
You know,
and I wrote a book. I've been in a movie.
How many times I've been mistaked for being a SEAL?
Zero.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I mean, they kind of questioned me when I told them what I actually did anyway.
Well, like, I think they thought you were a SEAL, but the actual animal, like the mammal SEAL. Yeah, like a SEAL. That was a bad SEAL impression.
The question typically comes at maybe some form of increase in elevation with respiration where they're like, really? You were in the military? That's kind of the way that folds out.
We are
like,
sitting right now.
You went up like three stairs.
We're at 5,200 feet right now.
The
4,000 feet.
Yeah, 4,000.
I am winded.
You're winded.
My lungs are used to San Antonio.
The air is a little weaker. When I did spar, that was my excuse for getting out of breath. And then I did it with a fresh tattoo, so I'll probably get a staph infection and die. So
Yeah.
Staph infection.
A flesh-eating.
Yeah.
Flesh-eating bacteria, I think, is what
I've already been
for.
Through that once. So I'm good in all that.
We have a number of things to cover here. We've got, you know, we'll just go over our overview of the show. We got to talk about World War III.
Yeah,
then
World
we
War
tie III. Into World War III memes. That's a whole other topic. And then we're going to go into the Google searches of the draft right now.
This is great.
We're going
to
go into
the
feminist memes that have been coming out lately.
Yeah,
that's a good topic. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go into celebrities that think they're experts on foreign policy. That's a good one. And then we'll end it with, you know, Evan's final thoughts on what should happen with the Iranian parliament.
Well, before we kick into all that, which are great points, like maybe we talk a little bit about our new podcast coming out, which we're super excited for. It's kind of why we're up in Salt Lake, kind of building the strategy for it, which is called Free Range American Podcast. Oh. And it will be kind of our new medium to not only have a podcast where we discuss life and all the fun shit we do. Not we do, but just the fun shit that life provides you. And then also some really cool content, some maybe even like a TV show kind of thing. You know, who knows? Who knows?
I like that.
Like a miniseries.
The first show will be up on Friday, February 7th.
And oh!
From then on, yes, the first podcast will be up Friday, February 7th. And from then on, every Friday on the Drinking Bros network, you will get Free Range Fridays.
Free Range Fridays.
Starting February 7th.
February 7th. And you can also subscribe to our news feed, which will be the Free Range American Podcast. We'll kind of cross-pollinate those for a little minute, but you'll be able to view it and listen to it wherever you're at. So we're excited.
You know, we're in the 20s now. You know,
20s.
First show of the 20s.
Back in my 20s. Feeling young.
Yeah.
Well, the roaring 20s.
I think I kind of want to change my apparel style. I could go to like old school 20 style suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually saw some of those memes on the internet. They were like, hey, man, it's back to the 20s. And I was like, you know, the Great Depression happened in the 20s, right? So, like, let's not everybody.
Yeah, but
super
also World War
III,
the Great Iran War happened in the 20s.
It almost is like the 20s because we thought we were done with wars in the teens. And they're like,
yeah,
never
that's
mind.
Right. That's right, because it was like the Great War. The end, it was called the War to End All Wars, was World War I. And look at what we had next. That is interesting.
It's almost like history is repeating itself. Mm.
That's just because humans are inherently dumb.
Well, the good thing is that America is in an isolationist state, and we have the world's largest and most prepared military. So it's not like we were back in the day when we were caught flat-footed, both for World War I and World War II.
And we're not in prohibition.
Oh, thank God!
Thank God!
Yeah.
Oh,
thank God!
Man.
Yeah. Right?
Those were the dark days.
Awful time to be alive, that would be.
Yeah.
But you could buy a suppressor back then. And a machine gun.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. A machine gun. You could buy a Thompson.
Maybe we'll even legalize weed in the 20s.
I just made that up.
I predict that. I think that'll
happen. I think so. I hope so.
So the first thing we want to talk about is... what do we want to talk about first?
World War III is first,
World
and
War
that rolls III. Into the memes.
Well, I think like the intro, obviously, everybody knows about the, you know, dirtbag that we killed in Baghdad. Was that 3 days ago now?
Yeah, about
3 days ago.
It was Thursday night.
Thursday night. I don't know. I've talked to quite a few people about this. I'm sure everybody has. We've been watching the news. Excuse me. And I was talking to a guy probably yesterday because he called me. He's like, hey, what do you think of this? He doesn't really know anything. He hasn't really been overseas. And he's a hardcore liberal, by the way. Steven, we all know Steven, which he's like been a hardcore liberal forever. He's like, hey, Evan, what do you think about this? I was like, here's the deal, man. Like, you're in Iraq, which is basically, it's the country that we, you know, popped the top on. We've been in there since last time I checked, 2003. We've been fighting with the Iranians in a proxy war since 2003. They've killed a fuck ton of Americans since 2003. And their leader showed up and with plans to do it again on an American embassy. And we killed him. So when I look at this, I'm like, dude was in the game. And I don't want to reduce it to just like, hey,
well,
you want to play the game.
This is a great pause
you
before you go in there.
Smoked.
I want you to, Logan, to show you a photo that he posted on his Twitter.
Right.
Only
yeah,
a couple
so
weeks
I
ago.
I found this in my research for this podcast, and this was posted in July.
Okay.
Let's see it.
And we'll post this up on the
video. Oh, this too. Is great. Yeah.
So
we will crush.
How do you exactly say his name? Soleimani, right?
Soleimani?
Soleimani.
It doesn't matter what
I always
your
mess
name
it up
is.
With that Kurdish town.
So
Iranian general.
It's a picture of him.
Go ahead. With the White House exploding behind him and
right.
the American flag and torn up, and it says, "We will crush the USA under our feet, ready for jihad." Make no mistake, like these people hate America.
That's open to interpretation, though. Maybe he's just like, hey, we want to help the White House remodel because we don't like the decor.
True.
I don't know if that's
just,
saying.
Maybe he really likes those White House Has Fallen or Angel Has Fallen movies with Morgan Freeman, and he just wanted to do his own
version. Morgan
of
Freeman
it.
Would make a great president.
Is
by
this
the
his
way.
Sizzle? Maybe.
Maybe.
Is this a sizzle?
He's looking
pitching?
For a reality
pitching
show.
Into the
yeah.
business.
He wanted to get on MTV.
I guess that's kind of where I go all the way back to this. I'm like, guy was identified as a terrorist. We labeled him as a terrorist. We labeled the Quds Force as a terrorist organization. He's killed hundreds of American lives. And he stepped into our backyard. So how did he think, or does anyone think this is acceptable that we wouldn't kill this guy? And go, just because he's an Iranian general, does it take away the responsibility or the blood on his hands from American soldiers? And is the fact that this might lead us into war, does it take away from all the 18 to 25-year-old kids that have been killed or injured directly at the hands and the responsibility of him? What makes their lives less significant, I guess, than some shitbag general that needed to die regardless, that's already been labeled as a terrorist? Now, I completely understand the political and obviously the World War III type scenario that unfolds because of this. What I don't really quite understand is there's so many people defending him. They're like, well, he's a fucking general, and, you know, I mean, I know he's a shitbag, but, hey, we shouldn't have killed him. Like
where's the pandering coming from, and why?
Dude should have died. Like, we should have killed this guy a long time ago. Like, that's my point. Like, why is he still alive? And he left the sanctuary of his country and stepped into what we would call America's one of America's longest
running
war
zones. Not
to be
a tin hat wearer
here,
but do you think that potentially he knew the risks absorbed at landing in Iraq, that the U.S. government might take action, and he was willing to martyr himself for the escalation of force that will consequentially follow after?
I think there's probably an aspect to that. I think that he's like win-win on this one. I think he's, if I'm on the ground and I'm actually, you know, commanding an element, I win. If I die, I'm a martyr. I win. I don't quite understand the, you know, the outrage from the American public, you know, defending
it's
him.
Just it's complete uneducation. Like Rose McGowan. Sorry, Rose McGowan, you're a fucking idiot. What do you know? You've never left Hollywood. Like, get the fuck out of here with your opinions. Like,
yeah, and from a legal standpoint, it's self-defense.
Right.
Which I'm sure the powers that be had this conversation with a lawyer before the
Every time there's a
made.
Strike.
Like, this is technically self-defense. Like, our embassy was attacked. This action is self-defense. And if anybody had a family member overseas and they were attacked, you would want to see repercussions for that.
Right.
If you take it down to the baseline layer of it.
Well, that's like the I think the really hard part in this whole conversation for me is people are saying we essentially are the ones that are creating the escalation of force that is driving towards more of a significant conflict. But when you look at photos like this on his Twitter and the parliament, you know, chanting death to America, these are people that are inherently against Western values, against everything we stand for. And they're willing to make it a short game or a long game. But the end state is for fucking the U.S. and the Western lifestyle to crumble and either to be a caliphate state or to be run by Islamic rule. Like, and it's the information's out there. And so it's just kind of like, at one point, whether it's tomorrow or in 10 years, like there will be a probably large conflict. I mean, I can't believe that it's been this isolated since September 11th, to be honest with you. Like we're you know, 9 years past that without significant conflict on U.S. soil. So that's a great thing. It means we're doing an okay job, but they're coming. You know, it's like, fuck.
Well, think about the other tin hat version of this is he flew in knowing that there could be repercussions, but possibly thinking maybe there won't be. Maybe we're that in charge. Maybe we have that much play in this region that they wouldn't dare do that. That's just as scary.
Yeah, agreed.
I think that's probably the more realistic
read
on this.
Yeah, I think that's
this,
what was going on. Like,
which is, I think the Iranians have pushed us around in the Middle East. I think they've pushed us around in Iraq. I think, you know, their influence over Hezbollah, I think their influence across the Middle East.
They're grabbing vessels in the Gulf.
They have basically been able to push us around for a couple decades, and there hasn't been an executive authority that's really pushed back, you know. And when we look at the Obama administration, you know, them sending billions of dollars and capitulating on nuclear deals, like, that's actually not the way that I think you negotiate with terrorists. I agree with the way that we push back. I think they have to be checked. You know, I think this is plain and simply, I don't think this is an escalation that will lead to war. I really don't. I don't think the Iranians are that stupid. I actually, their economy can't take it. Like, they can't even spin up a wartime economy to try and defend their nation to any great degree. It's in shambles. And I don't think America wants a war there. I don't think they want a war. I think what this is plain and simply a lot of a saber rattling event where the Iranians know how far they can push things now. They're like, okay, oh, you got us. Oops.
It's a great propaganda piece, too, to say, you know, that using the narrative of assassination and all of that. And I've seen people in defense, especially on the U.S. side, that are saying, like, well, this is someone that helped defeat ISIS. Well, no shit. They wanted the caliphate gone because they want to own the Middle East. Right. They want to be a fucking empire. And, like, did we forget that most all of us served during the surge in, like, 2007? And that was some pretty hard conflict. And a lot of that, most of it, was led by the Iranians and the Shia militias.
Yeah.
And it's like, we all saw it hand in hand. They were well-trained, well-equipped. Yeah, I don't know. It's very bizarre for me to people just like defending him. Now you can maybe
again
critique the outcome of this, but
it's headline education, and also I mean, where are we at right now? The left side of the country and all these stars in Hollywood, all they want to do, any excuse that they can to speak out against the president, they're going to use. They're going to think that
what was it? Rose
it's
was her name. I love that one because she said, like, "What'd she say? Please don't kill us." That was her ending statement of her tweet, and I'm
yes,
like,
of course,
that,
Rose,
that works. That real works.
You're
please.
Really, really doing a lot for everybody, Rose.
But even the Ayatollah came out this morning or last night. They're backpedaling from this, and they're trying to co-opt and use this as propaganda. He's saying, hey, we don't have a problem with the American citizens. We have a problem with your terrorist regime that's in charge, you know, and then they label Pompeo and Trump. Yeah,
which
and
isn't
Pence.
True at all.
Right.
Like, it's our way of life.
So,
which is hilarious coming from a guy who's been in power since the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny.
It's super funny.
Well, if anything, it's probably trying to swing the vote more left in the United States based off of propaganda and decision we make, so they get someone weaker in power that's willing to fund their organization right. in terror, and we kind of sit back and let them get stronger and take more fucking ground. That's my opinion on it, you know? And it's like, when do you punch the fucking bully in the face is what it comes down to. Or are you just going to let him walk around and shove all the kids in the lunchroom? It sucks. You're going to get in a fucking fist fight, but you got to punch a motherfucker in the face sometimes. And I'm not saying that this was the right action. I don't know. I'm not smart enough. But
yeah, and the thing to your note about they don't have the economy to support it, that's probably true, but I don't know that that matters to them. Like, they have such a hatred for us, and they've been under sanctions for so long that they've had to become self-sufficient on things that... It probably doesn't matter. Like, they're just driven by hatred and want to see America fall.
Well, I'm sure that they know if this escalation goes high, they'll have Russian backing and a bunch of other countries that want to see us fucking fall. So, I mean, it's not like there's not allies behind the scenes that want a larger proxy war, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what I think this is the way this folds out in my mind, is the Russians and the Chinese would love to see us go to war with the Iranians, because that would continue to suck the wealth and resources and men and women, all of the above, the blood and the treasure from the United States, because we'd get bogged down again
keep
in another
divided.
Fucking country and keep us on our heels, and then they can continue to influence international economies, shape resources, develop strategic long-term economic and military plans, because we're walking around the fucking Middle East falling in holes. And we can't just stop doing that now, right? So the Chinese and the Russians directly benefit from this. The Chinese and the Russians don't want a war with us. They don't want a direct conflict with us. But, man, given the right opportunity to just continue to bleed us dry in some, you know, third world country that they really don't give a shit about, think that they wouldn't love that? Man, they're like setting the table, you know? Like, man, I hope this happens. So they're going to do exactly what they are going to try to get this to be an outcome.
Yeah,
if the Iranians think they're friends, their big friends are going to help them.
No, I'm sure the shock will come on their face. Again, like I said, they start running out of money and think Russia's going to give them free shit. No, Russia can't afford that either.
They can't.
No.
Like, neither one of these economies, the Russians economy is in the shit, the Chinese economy is in the shit. They can't afford, all three of these countries can't afford a war. They can't even afford a war together. They don't want it. But the Russians and the Chinese guaranteed they would be like, well, great. If the Americans want to go to war again, man, we can just continue to sit back, let these idiots just keep digging themselves a grave in the Middle East, and then in two decades, we'll be in charge. That's exactly what they're thinking.
Yep.
It's my two cents.
So let's move on to the amount of memes that came out of this.
these are great. I love these.
The mass panic and hysteria.
Do you have some memes?
I did not bring any up.
But how are we going to talk about memes?
I don't have my phone.
Why does he not have his phone?
I was having a sandwich
before we started.
Started.
Okay.
You ate that thing.
I have seen a ton of World War III conscription memes.
We're pulling some up.
That are really sexist, by the way. They're awesome.
That's a separate subset. I mean, there's feminist
awesome.
World
They're
War
like
III memes.
Super,
yeah.
super
then
crazy.
There's
World War III
then there's
memes.
Just the World War III memes.
Right. Oh, so we're subsectioning this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, okay. The For internet sure. knows, like, no hold bars.
I mean, my favorite thing to do
the outpouring
other day
was instantaneous.
Is there is a general group that I belong to that's majority civilians, and I just went in, and it's all guys, and I went in there, I was like, I can't wait, I just said,
is it an app?
Are you guys looking for each other
said,
on that app?
Casual encounters?
I can't
Are there
wait
just pictures of their apps?
For World War III to start, and all you guys to go off to war, so I could go Jody full scale.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen those too, it's like,
of course, that's where his mind goes, like, well, I don't care about the conflict, but I gotta fuck all the wives.
Yeah.
God,
all the girlfriends for me.
Yeah.
I love that. Those like those Jody memes are incredible.
Oh, so
like,
good.
You can't wait for all the civilians to get to conscripted. Get
that's how
so I can bang their
That's
ladies.
How Jared becomes a multimillionaire. He starts a Jody dating site when everybody's at war. It's like fucking lonely war girlfriend seeking casual encounters. Jeez.
Seeking casual encounters from people that have already been to war.
Oh my God.
Are you a veteran who won't go back?
Yeah. All right. Let's read some of these memes. Okay. Here we go. This guy posted one. It is me when the government comes knocking on my front door for the draft.
And it's him as a woman.
Are those four different outfits? Oh, yeah. So his name's James. Yeah. He's just cross-dressed. Yeah. Well, it looks like a girl. I thought that was like Kim Kardashian for a second.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. The top left for sure.
I mean, solid. The dude doesn't make a bad girl.
No. Solid. But does.
He'd make a good Rosie the Riveter.
But the thing that
this day and age,
yeah, women or men are both
male and female.
They're both getting rolled up into this.
Yeah,
so he thinks that identifying as a woman is going to save
him. That's
where
the subsection gets interesting.
Yeah,
yeah. There's been some hyper sexist memes coming out of this.
Very
thing. Like,
hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's not anything that has never been on the table and part of the argument before. Like,
no.
That was an argument fucking 40 years ago. And women were like, we don't want to sign up for the IR.
Selective service.
Yeah.
That's always crazy, though. If you look at some of the other countries, like Russian snipers and the females in World War II and their kill counts, they're up in like the 300s, 200s. There's some savage women back in the day that were laying waste to people.
Yeah.
I can't imagine like being in a relationship with a sniper that had 300 kills.
Like, honey, can you take out the trash? You're like, yeah. You're like all fucking.
This video game sucks, and I was waiting for you to tell me to do something. I'm so glad that you tell me to do stuff.
Was it that? That's like Enemy at the Gates.
Enemy at the Gates.
Yeah,
the gates.
That's an incredible.
Yeah, not everybody, every soldier even got a rifle. You just got some ammo, and when the soldier in front of you died,
your
picked
swim
up his
buddy
rifle.
Has your rifle. Here's some rounds.
Cool.
Yeah,
figure it out.
When he's dead, grab his gun.
I'm up for a lot, but I don't know about going to a battlefield without a gun.
Fuck no.
I'm good on that one.
Yeah, they lost boom. 11 million people is what they estimate.
Really?
Yeah. The Russians.
In Stalingrad?
They
lost total. A million people in Stalingrad.
Yeah, a million in Stalingrad.
And those were people that alone. Those were people that they kept track of.
Yeah.
So who knows what peasants they rolled up in.
That is a lot.
They're like, yeah,
bodies.
You guys are coming with us.
Just thinking about that. Like the bodies. A million bodies laying around.
Well, and the interesting thing with that entire, and not to go down a sidetrack, like weird hole, but like
it's
Stalingrad wasn't even of strategic importance. It was literally based on ego because Hitler wanted because
it was named after Stalingrad.
Stalingrad. Yeah, and
Hitler thought it would because they actually went
yeah, it's crazy.
South of where they should have been going for logistical supplies, and they were just like, yeah, let's go take Stalingrad because Stalingrad falls will hit the Russian people in the heart.
Let's go to the Balkans. That's on the way to Moscow.
Which I do suggest if you go on, I think it's on Netflix and watch World War II in color. And
it's really
about the significant battles of World War II. Mm-hmm. They're remastered and recolored. It is very informational. Very. Very, very cool. I think I've said that before in the podcast, but I thoroughly enjoyed it because you saw how a lot of those conflicts, one or two pieces just kind of came together, like especially at the Battle of the Midway, like we almost fucking lost the American fleet, but somehow pulled it out of our ass based off some great pilots and took back the battle. It was crazy. You got to watch it.
I rewatched that recently too, and like I didn't realize how much Germany was on their heels by the time D-Day rolled around. Like Hitler made so many bad decisions leading up to that, and
that's because they were injecting each other with meth every day. Like that's the Blitzkrieg soldiers were all high on meth. That's what they were going 3 days in a row. That's what the weight and fatigue from the other soldiers. They're like, what are these guys on? They're on meth. Like
government supplied methamphetamines. It's not gonna be fun.
And Hitler was doing both meth and opiates, so he was like getting ramped up and leveling out. So. When you're thinking about that guy getting daily injections with meth and opiates, and he's like, "Listen, I'm in charge of this entire thing, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
this is what we're gonna do."
Being in that room is just a general, like, and you're listening to his plan, and you're just
he's sweating profusely, and he's like ranting incoherently, and you're just like, "Oh God, we're fucked. Yeah. I gotta get out of here."
Well, that's why they try to assassinate Hitler. They're like, "Okay, let's just kind of be cool with what Germany has. We kind of own Europe right now for the most part, like." Let's just kill Hitler and be good and stay here and, you know, fuck each other.
So we went from conscription to Germany fucking each other.
Is that I always, is that I always thought to make about sex. Good, I always have to make about docs, sex.
There, by the way, there's a really good new show on Netflix called Sex Explained. It's phenomenal.
Okay.
Hey, okay. I'm telling you, the way you I look watch at it, that.
That's isn't that the goal in life? Just like have maybe a little bit of booze and just laugh and cum a lot. And so sometimes you got to awesome Iranians to make sure you can still laugh and cum. That's the way I look at it.
So these memes.
So the memes.
You got a good one over there, Logie?
Yeah. Is there any more? What do you got for us? Is there any that have that guy that wears the red sweater from the previous election, Ken? Oh, can you search World War III memes, Ken?
Hold on.
He's on it.
I'm a big fan of, I've seen a lot of the those cat memes.
Oh,
I've seen
love
a lot of those. Yeah. Seen a
that
lot of the cat memes.
That cat is amazing. Do you remember what that cat's name is?
Where is it even
Catty
from?
Catty Catterson?
No, it's like Mustard Face or something like that.
Right.
I don't even know what it's from.
It has an Instagram.
Mustard Face.
No, literally,
Catterson.
Of course this, it does. This family in Toronto, California, this girl has like 60 colors in her hair. They just were taking pictures of their cat at the dinner table, like that would get angry if it like had salad.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like they just took this picture, and then somebody probably on 4chan photoshopped the very first one of the Real Housewives where the girl's crying and being held back and then had that cat
its face. Okay.
They're coming up.
Are they coming up? Are we doing it?
Yeah.
Oh man, I can't wait.
I can't find Ken on here at all.
Oh, that's fine.
Really?
That go with the
matter.
Cat.
Go with the
I'm
cat.
I'm looking for the cat right now.
The cat memes are incredible. I've been following Angry Vet for I don't know how long.
Yeah, he's great.
That dude has some incredible DC Drano, Angry Vet.
Typical liberal.
A typical liberal.
Yeah.
Like, man, they've got some really incredible memes going on. And like I can't lie, like I love kind of stoking the fire a little bit. Like I chimed in on OAF's feed the other day.
Oh, I read that whole comment thread. That was
great.
That
was good, right?
Yeah.
It's fun.
Oh, man. Where was this at? I missed this.
OAF Nation.
I was like, I forget exactly what he had posted. It's something about Iran. And I was like, yeah, we should put Senate and Congress and the first airborne hop into Tehran.
That's it should be a thing.
Yeah, which I thought was, I thought it was really funny. It's like, the hawks are going to be out there. They already are. Like, everybody's out there, like, let's go to war. They're already, beating the drum, right? But a lot of it is coming from people that have never been to war before, which is always really interesting for me. When we look at, like,
or as we've seen on the news, know how a firearm functions.
Yeah, so it's like these people are always like, go to war. And even if we look back and we're like, look at 2003 and we look at the entire executive team, right? So from Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, like none of those guys had ever been to war. Not one. And they're just like, yeah, we're going into war. We're going to go into Iraq. That's what we're going to do, man. We're going to kill all these guys. It's going to be easy. We're just going to flip that country. No problem.
Move our chess pieces right on over here.
And like those guys fucked that thing up so badly. You know, obviously, you guys know I was on the invasion of Iraq. And like we had all the momentum going into that. And we sat there. I remember very distinctly, like sitting in Baghdad going, dude, this is a pregnant pause. Like these fucking guys think this thing is over. Like they think this thing is over. And we're like, and they were saying it on the news. They're like, oh, it's over. You know, we won. He landed on the carrier. And we're going,
I remember seeing that.
No, dude, these guys are just getting ready because it's going to get fucking really vivid super soon. And instead of just going out and fucking putting the boots to people, like we should have been doing. It was like, oh, we got to, debathification. Like, I distinctly remember getting this debathification that we couldn't work with any Ba'ath Party officials within Iraq. And I distinctly remember, I was like, you want us to fire everybody in this country that has a gun? Like, you're trying to create an insurgency. Like, what are you talking about? This is like a stupid idea. You guys are crazy, man. Like, I distinctly remember going, this is crazy. Like, we're sitting there in our team room, and I'm like, this is fucking insane. You guys are trying to create an insurgency.
It's like the opposite of what we did in Germany. Like,
they're
like, okay, so we killed the guy. So he killed himself. The rest of you were kind of running this shit. Okay, don't do it again. Thanks.
See you later.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, see you later. Hey, we gotta go.
We're gonna purge you bad guys. We're gonna put you on trial. We're
all bad.
Like all the bad guys, but then like a lot of the guys that have like uniforms and guns and organizations actually know how to run the country. We gotta keep these guys around, or else it'll destabilize it, and then you're gonna look for people. So I had the first meeting with a guy named Muqtada al-Sadr, for instance.
Yeah.
And we left the meeting going, we need to kill that fucking guy. Like, we left the meeting going, we need to kill that guy. The CIA came back and they're like, you can't kill that guy. And we're like, why? Why can't we kill that guy? He's a piece of shit. He's like 30 guys. Like, we'd roll him up and like,
can he
do that? That's like my afternoon nap. Like, we'll roll that dude up and all his guys.
No, you won't know.
and what came back was he, you know, we're working with him and he's, you know, we're going to continue to work with this guy. It's like, you're not going to continue to work with this guy. He works for the Iranians. He's a Shia and an Iranian puppet. If you think that you're going to work with him, you are so out to fucking lunch. That's when I really realized, like, it took me a few years. Obviously, I had from 2003 to 2009 in Iraq. And the majority of each year I spent in Iraq. So I have such a fucking long history with that country. I was in Basra, like, dodging Shia militia as I was, like, trying to figure out how to get the fuck out of that country when we signed the SOFA. So we're the Status of Forces Agreement, pulling out of the country. There's no love lost for me and the Iranians. Like, they killed my best friend in 2006. Like, their EFPs were fucking everywhere. Like, these guys were just complete shitbags, and they were hunting us on a regular. Like, it wasn't like we didn't know they were hunting us. It wasn't like we didn't know who they were. But the thing that I continued to remember was like, and go back to from that time in my life was like, the executive authority, they have no fucking clue how to fight and win a war. And they didn't. History has proven me right. They had no fucking clue how to do what they were doing. They were so completely naive about the Middle East. They didn't know the difference between a Shia and a Sunni. They didn't know the difference between any of the main tribal authorities within Iraq. They didn't know the difference between, quite literally, what a Ba'ath Party official was and what a tribal chief from the Sunni province of Al-Anbar would have been. They had no idea what they were doing. And like, we popped the top on that country, not knowing a fucking thing about it. So you're trying to figure out what you're doing and fight a war against not only the people in it, but then the foreign fighters that are fucking flooding in to take a shot at you.
Yeah,
you
know, for Chechnya and all kinds of other.
And oh, by the way, don't make any mistakes or you're going to go to jail.
I mean, shit.
Don't fuck up. You know, don't fucking kill the wrong person or you might go to jail. Whoa,
when they interrogated Saddam, what did he say? He was like, you guys have no fucking clue what you have stirred up.
No, yeah.
He said that. He's like, you guys are out of your fucking minds.
Yeah.
And trust me when I say,
that's
like,
Saddam Hussein.
I'm not an Iraq apologist. Like, that guy's a shitbag. He needed to go. Like, but the way we fought that war was so blatantly ignorant. And we have never quite, nor do I think that we have ever, held the executive and military accountable for how dumb those decisions were. Like, nobody did an audit and they're like, hey guys, why did you guys do this? Based on what authority? Like, oh, based on like ricin and chemical weapons that we never found, by the way. And you had the largest transfer of wealth from the taxpayer to the military industrial complex in American history. In American history. Like, that's an accounting, like, bottom right corner that everybody should have been like, what the fuck is going on? And why are we doing this for as long as we are? And why are we not just, like, dismantling these cities? Like, literally fucking bottom up. Like, let's just
bulldoze.
Rip them up. Like I said, I'm not an Iraq apologist. Like, by no means am I anti-war guy whatsoever. But if you're going to...
If you're
going to
do it,
if you're going to do it... You can't go half in, half out. Like, there's no such fucking thing. There's no such thing as, like, having a low-intensity conflict in a country like Iraq or Iran for an extended period of time. All you're going to do is get a fuck ton of Americans killed. You're going to kill a fuck ton of civilians. And you're going to waste a fuck ton of time and money. And it's like, and you're not going to hold anybody accountable, which is the craziest thing that I've ever fucking seen in my life. It's like we had bankers lined up to fucking hold them accountable for the Wall Street collapse. But where in the fuck did we ever hold like all of the people that are supposed to be in charge of the taxpayer dollars and the American citizens and the guys that lost their lives, limbs, and eyesight? We never once held them accountable. We weren't going like, hey, man, you guys really fucked up. Last time I checked, when people fuck up, it really doesn't matter. They still have to own what they did and take responsibility for it. But that's my two cents.
When you're running for office.
That was a good meme.
It was what?
It was a good meme.
It was a good meme. I went on a little bit of a tirade. I'm just saying,
it's like a
the
meme
Iran
with
war,
subscript.
If there was ever an Iran war, it can't be run by people that have never been to war.
No.
It's dumb.
Or understand what the outcome is going to be and then the strategy put in place to make that accomplished. Because we didn't have any idea, like you said, in Iraq. It was just like, we won, and they're like, wait, what do we do now? And then we completely fucked that up.
We won. That was easy. Now what?
Yeah, now what?
Now
what?
That was easy. We're good.
Well, I think that's probably the largest concern coming out of that with the Iran stuff going on right now. It's just like, if there what happened to be a war, what does that look like? What's our plan? What are we doing? And it's so complex. I don't think really anybody has the answer. You know?
No. And how do we do it so we don't create follow-on generations of enemies?
Yeah, that right. fucking hate like us. Well, that's
people,
what we did in
just
Iraq.
More people that are younger that hate America yeah. just as much.
Or more, because we killed their family members.
Right.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a civilian casualty, you turn their whole family against you. You know, it's a breeding ground for future, you know, anti-Western values.
Well, Iran's a really bad scenario because unlike Iraq, like, we don't have a dictator over there killing hundreds of thousands of people.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's not China. Like, we're not upending a dictatorship that is eliminating all of their citizens ideologically. That's scary. Like, if we step foot in there, those are people that want to live in Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't...
They don't want to fucking leave.
There is no, hearts and minds occupation.
No.
God,
like,
no.
It's like...
That's a whole country against you.
No. This is a war like it would be a war with Germany. I'm not saying, like, on par, like, but the Germans didn't want us in their damn country.
Right.
It would be like that.
Eek. I don't think anybody wants that.
No.
Luckily, we are in 2020 and there's Twitter and, you know, Colin Kaepernick weighed in on this.
We have internet. We have college experts.
Thank God.
Colin Kaepernick weighed in, you know?
He's apparently just been sitting on the bench the whole time.
It's like, so good. So good. What'd he say? What did he say anyway?
America has always sanctioned and besieged black and brown bodies both at home and abroad. American militarism is the weapon wielded by American imperialism to enforce its policing and plundering of the non-white world.
Interesting. Huh.
Like, right. We're not the Aryan race here. Like, we're a hyper-diverse country, probably one of the most diverse out there. So I don't really get that,
yeah.
Colin.
I mean,
what do your white adopted parents have to say about that, Colin?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the wealthy family Frankly. That you grew up in.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Colin. Coming from a man that's been held down, obviously, his entire life. I mean, what's he worth? You know, $20-$40 million. I mean, he's never been able to get ahead in this life. You know, just like he's been held back his entire life by this like institutional hierarchy racism in America, and obviously, his time in the NFL has prepared him for his international politics. Position like he's.
I wonder if he's going
to absolutely need to listen to these.
What
guys.
Do you think?
He must have been audited in classes at VMA.
What do you think? What do you think the odds are that he runs for a seat, congressional seat?
I hope so.
You think he will?
I just want to see.
AOC did.
I just want to see the memes that result from that.
Yeah,
frankly,
not out of question.
Actually, yes. I mean, that would be as entertaining as AOC. I'm kind of sad that that Nancy Pelosi shut AOC up. Like.
I am. I'm sad that we haven't heard more from.
That's what
AOC.
Give her
that's
more
what
leg
I mean.
Room.
Like her own team said, you need to stop.
She tweeted something about this.
She probably tweeted something like apologizing to Iran for something, right? Yeah, she probably apologized to Iran. Like we said at the beginning, it doesn't matter, you know, if Trump tries to withdraw troops, he's wrong. You know, if he tries to, you know, it doesn't matter what he does anywhere, whether it's domestic or internationally, whether it's economically or military, it doesn't matter. The progressives are always going to say that he's wrong. There's always going to have people that are protesting it. It's like there's no way any politician or actor can realistically defend the actions of this guy. Like there's no person that can realistically and logically do it and be right. It's not the only thing they have driving them is this emotional disdain towards the executive office, and that's it. That's what's driving this narrative.
So what did AOC say? Got it. Pulling it up there.
There's more than one.
Oh, just give me, sweet. Give me one of the juicy ones.
Give him.
Let's go, Trevor. Right.
Okay. War is a class conflict, too. The rich and powerful who open war escape the consequences of their decisions. It's not their children sent into the jaws of violence. It's often the vulnerable, the poor, and working people who had little to no say in conflict who pay the price. That's AOC pandering to her demographic. Yeah.
It's actually not that.
I mean, she's pretty spot on.
Yeah, it wasn't that ludicrous of a statement.
She
never
continues.
Thought I would say I agree with AOC today.
Right. Yeah, the other one was her kind of taking what the president said out of context when when he said targeting 52 Iranian sites representing the 52 American hostages taken by Iran many years ago, some at very high level and important to Iran and Iranian culture, and those targets in Iran itself will be hit very fast and very hard, in all caps. President very
fast
and
hard.
Caps. The USA wants no more threats. And her response was, this is a war crime. It's not.
No, it's not.
Threatening to target and kill innocent families, women and children, which is what you are doing by targeting cultural areas.
And we're
does
back.
Not make you a tough
here
guy.
We are.
It makes you it does not make you strategic. It makes you a monster.
Yeah, so what about the American civilian that we killed in Yemen that was 16 years old by a drone strike by their messiah, Obama? You know, did we just forget that, like, he fucking killed a 16-year-old American citizen with a drone strike? Did we just, like, we just woke up, rolled out of bed, and we're like, oh, but we killed a fucking American citizen in a foreign country. That's okay because it was our messiah. But when we kill a legitimate shitbag in a fucking declared war zone that we've been in since 2003, all of a sudden we're the terrorists. Yeah, you're right.
Or that he was hated in the Middle East in general by the amount of drone strikes that he did.
With no collateral damage on a drone strike.
Seriously.
Say that in the mic.
No collateral damage, and it was a drone strike. It's like people forget that because this has been going on so long. It's not like we sent an ArcLight B-52 strike in. Like there wasn't like 100 fucking 500 pounders that dropped
World
across
War II
Baghdad.
Carpet,
yeah.
Carpet bomb.
Yeah. Like Baghdad's not on fire.
It was
right
precision.
Now.
The car was taken out.
Yeah,
that was it.
We lost a vehicle.
Surgical
and shit bag.
Like we technically invaded a sovereign nation to execute UBL. With stealth aircraft without notice of the fucking country to execute a dude in his house and his family members. Like I said, I'm not an apologist.
Oops.
I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense to me that just because you're wearing the opposite jersey, that's the only reason you're taking up arms, or I should say signs, you know?
Well, yeah. It shouldn't be about the emotional component of who's in the office. It should be about the welfare and well-being of the American public and national and international safety, meaning if we're overseas. So, like,
correct.
That's what it comes down to. Because I'm kind of an isolationist when it comes to that, where it's like, I care about the American people and then our allies. Because, granted, we've made terrible, poor decisions before, but as a nation, we stand the strongest and we have the most freedom and values. I truly believe that. So, it's like I'm looking out for my own tribe here, and fuck you.
Yeah, people are lining up at our embassies around the world to seek refugee status and to move to the United States as legal immigrants. We are one of the only countries in the world where people still do that. People aren't lining up at the Russian embassies around the world to go to fucking Russia. People aren't lining
up. Or Venezuela.
Going to Iran. They're still lining up to come to the United States. And it the way that some of these politicians continue to discuss America is so fucking disgusting. I don't understand how we can maintain or how they can maintain their positions. And I understand how obviously other districts obviously feel too. It's just, it's really disgusting to me.
It's fair. I feel like you have something for
very
us.
Very fair. Oh, there was something. Israel had targeted Soleimani back in 2015. They had a lead on him. They were close to getting approval to take him out. And supposedly Obama tipped off Iran.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Is that fact or is that hearsay?
Is that just like when they dumped their infrastructure with that virus and we may or may not have tipped them off that was them too?
Right.
That sounds similar.
It was posted on a Israeli news outlet.
Okay. So who knows? But so probably knows? Maybe some truth in there.
Yeah, maybe.
Grain of salt.
Well, even if it is true, right? So let's just discuss that if it's true. Like, is that appropriate? Is that appropriate for the executive office to tip off the Iranians? Like, why?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, strategic level enemy, and I think...
Unless he's trying to get in a good seat with the enemy, but we were also fighting with Iran against ISIS during
why would we be kissing their ass?
Yeah, maybe it was...
That might be the only defense there, is that they wanted the command and control of him to lead the factions against the caliphate, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if we're shoulder to shoulder with those guys during that time frame and he gets killed, you know, who knows what that does to American troops during that time.
It's a fair statement.
That's fair. So we just unpacked it, and from the surface it looked pretty disgusting, but I have a hard time. I just have a hard time with these guys just in general, like, you know, you change seats in the executive office and all of a sudden you're fucking friendly with dudes that have been, you know, blowing us up and fucking us up for, you know, multiple years. I understand how politics works. I'm not that naive. I just think that once you've been responsible for killing a number of Americans and a foreign, like Iran, it's not as if we invaded Iran, right? It's Iraq. And they were targeting American soldiers in Iraq. I really find that so ethically corrupt that how that is not defined as an act of terror and ultimately an act of war by the Iranian government, even back in back in 2004. I just don't quite understand how we could have even gone this long without confronting Iran in a major way. Like, it seems like this has been going on for so long that there should have been a confrontation with Iran militarily much earlier than this. And this was a very strategic fucking shot where really, I mean, there's two guys, right? The main two guys were taken out and obviously some of their other logistics, you know, personnel with them. But I mean, for the most part, this was pretty fucking very specific, very targeted, and there wasn't a lot of collateral damage.
No, none.
Well, what do you think, put on our tin hats for a second, I wonder what the rebuttal will be, because Iran has obviously openly spoken about there will be repercussions and there will be military repercussions. So, and they said like pretty
but
much foreign and domestic.
The president has fired back and says, if you do anything, 52 right. targets are being executed immediately.
But do you think they're going to do something?
I don't.
Well, it's super interesting. Like, the election's 10 months away, and they're super conscious of that. So I would assume Iran wants Trump out of office. So Trump's not going to do anything unless they act. And they already said it may not be soon. This, like, they already said years. Like, they're playing the long ball here. So nothing may happen for the rest of the year, but it's going to, the ball's in their court for sure.
Well, I think the ball's always been in their court as far as scheming and plotting towards the U.S., but now it might just be a little more incentivized.
Red flag status, you know?
Which is, like, unfortunate, you know, but because you never want to see heightened threat levels in the United States. But here we are. And I think if any of us had the answer, you know, it'd be easy. But it ain't easy to figure out what's going to go on.
No, I think what they're going to do is they're going to play a very sophisticated game of anti-Trump propaganda. They're going to placate to the American public and continue to try to make themselves appear to be victims in the international community. Yep. And they're going to try to manipulate this in order to garner support in order to get him out of office.
How much You want to bet we see a celebrity show up in Tehran next week?
Oh, Sean Penn's probably on a plane right now.
I'm telling you, I bet that it's a race right now for some of them.
Joe Biden's son?
To be the first person over there tweeting.
Dennis Rodman?
Yeah.
He's already played with one dictator.
Biden's on the Energy Commission in Iran, taking $80,000 a month. Is like, whatever, bitches.
That's a really good point, Jared. I guarantee there'll probably be something like that, and they'll have open arms open. They'll show how it's great it is. You'll have
look how great the Iranian
in traditional attire and the whole nine of like
the pretty culture.
You know, we stand with the Americans, not with it. It's just propaganda. Like that typical fucking bullshit, man. I guarantee that will probably happen. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, because Logan brought up a good point. If we go to war with Iran, the election's off.
What do you mean?
I thought if we're in, we're in a fucking world war that we don't hold a presidential election.
No, we still do. Even in World War II, we held elections. Mm-hmm. We just extended.
I missed that part.
Right.
We just civics class.
Roosevelt was the longest serving American president.
You're trying
president,
to bang the teacher instead of history, huh? Yeah. That's right. I've done the same thing.
Roosevelt was the longest serving American president, and it was largely due to the economic and obviously the international war scenario that he was in. He died in office. Yeah, he died. So, and then Truman rolled in, finished out his term, and then it was ultimately reelected. But we still have elections. We still have elections. We still have elections.
History with Evan.
Yeah, history. those are real.
I'm just really thinking
there's
about
one person on the ticket, Putin. And Putin. Random tree. Those are the two candidates.
A fern.
Do you vote for this tree or Putin? Putin wins by a landslide again.
Random tree.
I was just hoping a lot of snow fell on those Park City mountains so I can board before I leave Salt Lake City.
It was pounding snow at my house.
Really? Oh, pounding.
What is pounding snow? Like,
why is that?
I couldn't
word
see down the street
and
it was 200 yards.
Okay, so like a fuck ton of snow, shit ton, a lot of snow.
Yeah, a buttload.
A buttload.
Okay, that's a good gauge. Do you snowboard?
And ski.
And ski.
He does both.
Which you are a photographer, if people don't know you, for Black Rifle Coffee. You take some amazing imagery for us. So when you see those fancy photos.
Super available.
Yeah, what's your Instagram handle?
Thompson Parasports.
Thompson
Parasports.
Very little.
Your name isn't anywhere in there.
Yes.
What? Oh.
My last name.
Semantics.
Was there elections. CBD in your sandwich or something?
No, I'm not done with my. That's how I got sandwich on the mind now. Because I had to stop mid sandwich. That's all I've been thinking about.
Need more food in my belly.
Yeah. Golly.
Wow. This was a good one.
I think this is a great episode. What do you guys
think? Hey,
it's
very educational.
Yeah, or we just ran or suck and miscited a lot of things.
I learned that there's presidential elections during wars.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
I feel smarter.
Civics 101.
You take the words out of my mouth all the time, buddy.
Like we said at the beginning of this episode, come here for information. Yeah. You're not going to learn anything.
Fact check us on Google. And at the end of the day, we're probably wrong on 50%.
Yeah, it's
so
classified
it
as a comedy show.
Just some washed up bro vets. Yeah. Just talking.
Some washed up bro vets.
We're just bro vet central over here.
I'm actually running for president this year.
BVC.
Bro vet card.
Yeah.
You know? Bro
vet. Yeah, that's a political
I'm
going to
increase my I'm going to kill you t-shirts a little more. I feel like I'm lacking on my apparel, but hair and my condescending egotistical walkthroughs that I do are very in line with that. So I think I got that.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. So you're a bro vet? Is that what you say?
I don't classify myself as one, but I mean, I don't even know what it means.
I'm excited to be labeled one because generally a college bro is like in shape. And if they're calling me a bro vet, fuck. Yeah. That means they think I'm in shape.
There you go, Jared. Fitness improvement.
Yeah, there you go. Right. You know who I am? I'm an individual that is a part of a great society known as the American people. And I will just contribute every day the character and the kindness of my heart for the betterment of my country, my community, and my friends, not only professionally but personally, to keep growing a company like Black Rifle Coffee to support the American men and women that serve our country so selflessly. Matt Best, running bro vet card for
is that on the back of your book?
Yeah, I actually have some notes there in my hand. I just read cool like statements that have no substance.
Just slip this in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been a great show.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, guys. For tuning in, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye.